John chapter 14, as many of you will know, is set in the last night of the life on earth of the Lord Jesus Christ, before His own death by crucifixion. Our Lord speaks these words to 11 of His disciples. Judas, the betrayer, has gone out from them. He's went out, and the Bible tells us when He went out, it was dark. But here Christ is with His 11 disciples, and He speaks these words to them just hours before He will be crucified and go Himself to the Father. He speaks it to men whose hearts were clearly troubled about many things, because Jesus said to them in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me." In this opening verse, we see men whose hearts are troubled, and then the cure for such trouble. Christ immediately points them, faith in Christ. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. Verse 2, He goes on to tell them, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." The Lord Jesus tells them of heaven, "In My Father's house are many mansions." And again, remember the setting. In a few hours, Christ's soul will be in the Father's house. Because up from Calvary's cross will come the cry, "Father, into Thy hands I commit My spirit." And soon Christ will be there. And here the Lord is saying to His disciples, you can be absolutely sure of this. 11 men gathered round them. You can be absolutely sure of this. There is a place in heaven for you. Verse 2, "I go to prepare a place for you." And every child of God in this meeting, redeemed by holy blood, the Savior says to you tonight, you can be absolutely sure of this. There's a place in heaven for you. You're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to heaven. The Lord says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Remember again the setting. The Lord's talking about the work He's about to do. "I go." And dear people, as you know, He's on His way to die. Christ is talking about the work that He's going to do as the mediator between God and man, as the high priest of our profession, first at the cross, and then continuing that high priestly ministry at the right hand of the Father as He prays and makes intercession for His people. But the Lord gives His disciples this great promise. He says to them, verse number 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Verse 4, "Whither I go, ye know," He says, "and the way you know." To which Thomas says, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said that marvelous statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." I want to take that sixth verse tonight as my text and speak tonight on Christ declaring the way to God. Christ declaring the way to God. Because dear unsaved in this meeting, you need to be clear about the way to God. Go wrong in this one, you perish. Go wrong on the way to God, you perish. It's as simple as that. You must be clear on the way to God, and we have no greater teacher than Christ and His own holy word. Verse 6, first of all, is an answer to a question. Verse 5, "Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Dear people, I want you to see that from this, that Christ is considerate of His people's weaknesses and answers their genuine inquiries. He doesn't say, "Thomas, I hope to have to put you over this." No, He doesn't do that. He says, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But dear sinner, in this meeting tonight in Ballymena, I want you to see that right now in this meeting, you could do nothing better than begin to inquire of the way to heaven. When is the last time you sat down on your own before the all-seeing eye of your Creator and thought about heaven? Thought about eternity. Thought about where you're heading, about your eternal home. When is the last time you considered your death? When's the last time you considered eternity? You need to face this question. Because you will die. You will meet Christ. You are not going to be the exception to the rule. You are going to go into eternity. When's the last time you sat down and thought about all this? It's an answer to a question. When's the last time you asked yourself, in the loneliness of your own heart, maybe the quietness of your home, where am I going to go if I die now? How do I get to heaven? I've already said you can't afford to go wrong in this one. There's one way to heaven. Miss the way to heaven, you miss heaven. Simple as that. Answered a question. I want to show you something else. Christ's answer reveals who he was. It reveals his Godhead. Jesus said, I am the way. I am. I am is one of the names of God. It reveals that the one who is the way to God is God, as well as man. The name was used over in Exodus 3. We were there this morning. Let's go back there. Exodus chapter 3. The name I am. It was used by whenever God was calling Moses, commissioned God to go into Egypt and bring out the people. Moses filled with doubts, filled with fears. Moses, here he is. But the Lord says unto him in verse number 13, Exodus 3 verse 13 with me. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. The name I am. The name for Jehovah. The self-existent one. He who has been in himself and has no dependence upon any other, being self-existent, he is self-dependent, self-sufficient, and therefore you gaze upon the all-sufficient Christ here. John chapter 14, God of very God, he says, I am. I am. Oh, the Russellites deny his deity, but here we have it declared so clearly, I am. I am, it's the same one as appeared to Moses, signifies the real being of God, his self-existence, that he is the being of beings. It signifies his eternity, his immutability, his faithfulness, fulfilling his covenant promise. It includes all time, past, present, future. It's all in that statement, I am, the great I am. You see, the sense is, and Christ was saying it, I am not only what I am, but what I am at present. I am what I have been. I am what I shall be. And what I shall be, I am. It's the unchanging Christ. You see it, sinner? There has only ever been one way to God. Because Christ is the great I am. He's the unchangeable one. What he was, he is. What he is, he will be. And what he will be, he is. From Genesis to this moment, there's been one way to God. Christ. And Christ in this text in John chapter 14, he reveals to them who he is. He reveals his Godhead. And that word, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But dear sinner, I want you to see something else. Christ's answer also reveals he is all that you need tonight. You've come to a gospel meeting. Here you are in the church. You've sung the hymns about Christ. You've sung when none but Christ could help, love lifted me. And yet you're not saved. The dear sinner friend, we're going to see in this text tonight that Christ is revealing to you that he is all you need. Remember what I said. You've got to be right in the way to heaven. But Christ reveals in this text that he is all you need. You see, since the fall of man, back there in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll be going there later, there has been no communion with God but by a mediator. We know who that mediator is. It's Jesus Christ. Because the one that mediates between God and man has to be God and man. And we know that. And Christ in this text, he reveals his Godhead. And he shows them, of course, his humanity. He's before them. He's before them. He reveals that he's qualified. He's qualified in his glorious person to be that only mediator between God and man. But sinner, you desperately need him. Desperately need him. I can't emphasize that point enough, because you say, how's it desperate? It's desperate for this reason. If that was the moment of your death, you've perished. That's why you desperately need him. There's no second chances on this one. Christ's the way to God. But sinner, you miss the way to God, you perish. And you have no idea, and I have no idea whatsoever, when God has set the time when Tom Laverty will pass away and when his life on earth will be over. I have no idea whatsoever, but I know this, that the Bible tells me that God has that moment set. And I'm prepared to leave it there. I'm prepared to leave it there. But sinner, how do you feel about it? It's set. The moment of your passing away is set. It's set by the one who's the way to God. It's not been altered. Your circumstances will not alter it. Your situation and your life at that moment won't alter it, won't delay it. When that moment comes, to use the term we all know, you're passing away. Your soul is going. That's what death is. It's the departure of the soul from the body. That's what's going to happen at that moment that God has already set for you. That's why you urgently need Christ. Because you're not ready for that moment as you sit in this meeting. As you sit in this gospel meeting, you are not ready for that moment. But here the Lord says, and I'm going to show you that he's all you need. He says, I am the way, sinner, the way to God. But what about that way? Let me tell you this. Christ is the peaceful way to God. Because in Christ or out of Christ, I've said this before, you're meeting God. But Christ is that way of peace to meet God. He's the way to meet God and be saved. He's the way to meet God and enter heaven. But let me tell you, everybody meets God. Everybody meets the Savior. And Christ says here, I am the way. Sinner, understand that the way to God, this peaceful way as I've entitled it, it's the way of the atoning blood. It's the way of the death of Jesus Christ. It's the blood-sprinkled way. Men and women, the way to heaven closed by sin is opened by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember again the setting. Christ said to these 11 disciples, I go. Remember where he's going? The cross. And then he says in verse 6, I am the way. Tie it all together. What's it showing you? The death of Christ is the peaceful way to meet God. To meet him in peace. To meet him at rest. Sinner, understand your situation tonight before God in this meeting. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. It's that chapter in the Bible that explains every calamity and every heartbreak and every war and every fight and every tear that ever fell. Genesis chapter 3 explains it. Explains it. But look at chapter 3 verse 24. Here's the moment. Let me just tell you, unsaved friend. The Garden of Eden was symbolic of the presence of God. That's what it was. In that garden, Adam communed with God. But in that garden, Adam communed with God, as you know, many of you, as the representative of the human race. But whenever sin came and Adam fell, verse 24 tells us, so he, that is God, drove out the man. Drove out the race. Placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And what the Lord was showing you there, unsaved friend, is this. In Adam, you were driven out and you need a way back. You need a way back. Let me tell you a few things that aren't the way back. Doing your best? No. Going to church? No. Baptism? No. Lord's Supper? Dear unsaved friend in this meeting, that table's not for you. It's not for you. It's for you from that moment you come to Christ, but until then, and I say that lovingly to you, you can't sit round that table. Christ said you only eat and drink damnation to your soul if you do it. So the way back's not by that table. The way back into the presence of the Lord is the one here in John chapter 14, that tells these disciples, I am the way. I am the way. But then he went on to tell them something else. He said, I am the truth. You see, dear sinner friend, in this meeting, by birth, by your nature, you're ignorant of divine truth. You're lost in the darkness of your fallen nature. But Christ says, I'm the truth. Holy truth. Divine truth. Eternal truth. The true one. It's the light of the gospel. That is the message that your fallen heart needs to hear. Christ is that, and all of those great I am statements. He said, I am the light of the world. And what does the light do? It shows up your darkness. It shows up the path before you. It shows you the way to God. That's what divine truth does. Men and women, that book reveals to you the way to heaven. It reveals to you the way to meet God in peace. Oh yes, if I have said, every one of us is meeting God. Every one of us will gaze upon Jesus Christ. For that book reveals to us the way to meet him in peace. The blood sprinkled way by the cross. Christ says, I am the way, the truth. And then he says this, and the life. Again, you need that. You see it? You have no way to God on your own. You're lost in the darkness and the ignorance of sin, without divine light, without a way to God, but the gospel reveals it. And then Christ says, I'm not only the way, I'm not only the truth, I'm the life. You see, dear people, Paul told the church in Ephesus, he reminded them of what they were without Christ. He said, ye have he quickened who were dead. You're dead in trespasses and sin, dear man. Dear woman, dear young person, you're dead. Your life's a corpse spiritually. That's what it is. There's no spiritual life in it whatsoever. But Christ comes here and he says, I'm not only the way, I'm the truth, I'm also the life. Christ quickens by the Spirit. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11. Again, another of the great I am statements. Another of the great I am statements. John chapter 11. You know the scene. It's the funeral scene. And hearts are breaking. Mary and Martha wept. And our Lord wept. And he made that great statement, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? But you know what happened? He goes to the grave of Lazarus. The one who is life. And he comes to that grave. And look with me at verse number 43 of John 11. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And verse 44 tells us, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And what the Lord was showing us there is this. It's the message of the gospel. The word of God that brings men from the deadness of their sin. Sinner, you know what the Lord's telling you? He that's the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying to you exactly what he said to Lazarus. Sinner, come forth. Leave that behind. Sinner, come forth tonight. Young person, Christ says, come forth. Come forth from your deadness, from your sin, from your darkness. He who is the way, the truth, and the life, he says, come forth. The question is this. Will you come forth? Will you this night repent and believe the gospel? Christ's answer reveals something else. Go back now to John 14. John 14 again, our text. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ's answer reveals this, his purpose. The purpose Christ came into this world. The disciples had this great opinion. That when Christ would come, when the Messiah would come, he would trample down all the Romans and set up a great empire. Trample down all the enemies. That's what they thought he would do. Christ in this text reveals the purpose why he came. I am the way, remember where? To heaven. The truth, the life, I'm all sinners need. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you see it, sinner? In this meeting without Christ, Christ left heaven with this purpose to take sinners like you and I to the Father. Remember what he said in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. And here he reveals the purpose he came not to set up an earthly kingdom. He left heaven, sinner friend, that you might go to heaven. Let's just put it simply. He left the glory of heaven and the worship of the angelic host and is placed there as the second person of the Trinity. And he left it that sinners like you and I in Ballymena Free Church might go to the Father's house when we die. Just put it very simply. That you might go to the Father's house. Let's go back a wee bit to where we started. Do you want to go to the Father's house? I never really met anybody that was honest that said they didn't. I've heard people try to be big about it. I didn't really believe them whenever they said they didn't. I think everybody in this meeting wants to be in the Father's house. They want to be in heaven. They want to meet God in that peaceful way. They don't want to meet God in wrath and anger. But dear sinner friend, what I'm showing you tonight is this. Christ, the one who's the way, the truth, and the life, could make that statement. Because in his life, he did everything you need. You see, before anybody's getting to heaven, to each of our accounts must be a perfect obedience to God's law. You and I haven't given it. We're born in sin. We have a sinful nature. We haven't given it. We can't give it. But that does not change the fact that God demands it from you. And what's more, nobody will be in heaven without it. Without a perfect obedience to the law of God given to their account, we won't be there. And that's why Christ was able to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Because, dear sinner friend, Christ gave the obedience, but he gave it for me and you. People like us. That's why he gave the obedience. Remember what he said to his disciples. I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. But the reason he came to fulfill it, sinner friend, dear friend in this meeting, the reason he came to fulfill it was because you and I can't fulfill it. That's why he fulfilled it. And then there was another matter. The massive matter of our guilt and our sin. And that had to be dealt with. Before any man enters heaven. Before any woman enters heaven. And Christ again was able to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Because after Christ had given the obedience, he then went to pay the penalty. And that's where we have broken into this Gospel of John. I go. I'm going to pay the penalty. I'm going to pay the price for sin. Not his because he didn't commit it. He knew no sin. But sinner friend, he went to pay for the sins of you and me. And every believer ought to hang our heads and thank God. Because your sin was paid for at Calvary. And because of that, the moment you die, he'll take you to the Father's house. Oh yes, believer, you're on your way to heaven. Marvelous thought. You're on your way to glory. You're on your way home. Because the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. How many? Well, the Jehovah Witnesses will tell us, 144,000. Wrong. Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of the Revelation. Book of the Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Let's gaze in the page of Scripture. Let's gaze with Holy Writ. Let's gaze into heaven. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Let me ask you, what did that multitude find out? They found out that Christ and Christ alone was the way, the truth, and the life. They found out that no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us there they are, a multitude that no man could number. So to hell with the Russellite doctrine that tells us 144,000. Because hell's where it came from, and may I go back to it. There's a multitude that no man could number. Redeemed with sacred blood, yes, dear sinner friend, a multitude of lost sinners. There they are. On the page of Holy Writ, black and white for all to see, gathered round the throne of God and of the Lamb. And they found out that Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. And that nobody would go to the Father but by Him. See all those people there? A world of sinners. There's drunkards there. There's adulterers there. There's thieves there. The list's endless. Are there. They washed the robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible says they're there. They're before God, before the Lamb, a multitude that no man could number. And let me close, because Christ's statement shows something else. It shows exclusiveness. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's exclusive. Christ, the only way to God. I remember one day in the centre of Aberdeen, I was preaching. Our brother Nicky will know where I'm talking about here. Just off Union Street. And there was this Muslim man was listening as I was preaching, and he was standing across a bit, and after I finished, I went over to him. And we got chatting, and I said to the Muslim man, I said, tell me this. If you die now, where are you going to go? Oh, he says, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, I says, do you mind explaining to me what has given you that belief? Or just what do you base that upon? Well, he said, you see that big flower pot there? I said, yes, I see it. Well, he said, if you can see in this great big square, there's many ways you can get to that flower pot. He said, you can come in from that side, or that side, or come behind it, or go straight to it. And he said, I think heaven's just a bit like that. We'll all get in different ways. Horrific. Dear man and woman in this meeting, this text shows the exclusiveness of it. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, hours before he went to die, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And really, sinner, what I'm trying to say to you is this.
If you never get to Jesus Christ, the way to heaven, the way to meet God in peace, you'll never be in heaven. You will not be in heaven. You won't be there. I told you at the very beginning, Christ made his great I Am statement. I told you that includes all time, past, present and future. I told you the sense wasn't only that when he said, I am what I am, but what he was saying was this, I am what I am at present. I am what I have been. I am what I shall be and shall be what I am. And therefore, men and women, let me repeat it, there has only ever been one way to God. But the point is this, Revelation chapter 7 and that great text shows us it's a tried way. Because there they all are, home in glory, gathered round the throne of God and of the Lamb. In my Father's house are many mansions. Sinner, if you're not saved, it doesn't matter where you live now. You're leaving it all behind. Belshazzar lived in a palace and he drank the wine out of gold and silver. And the night that the writing came on the wall, he left the palace and went to hell. Pharaoh had all the might of Egypt. Until that day he pursued Moses into the Red Sea. And the walls of that sea came down round him. And that sea drove him to hell. Drove him to hell. Sinner, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in the answer to his disciples' question, how can we know the way? And sinner, here's where I close. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you begin this moment a journey that'll lead you to heaven? Will you begin it now? You need your sin forgiven. But I've showed you tonight that Christ is all you need. The very purpose he left heaven was to take sinners like you and me to it. And you know what that means? That means that there's only one way. That the dear unsaved in this meeting tonight won't be in heaven. Only one way. If they reject Jesus Christ. Sinner, come to Christ. Him that cometh to me, he said, I'll in no wise cast out. That table spread tonight. You know what it reminds us of? Reminds us of the cross. That there was a day in the history of this world when Christ's body was broken, symbolized by the bread. There was a day in the history of this world when Christ's blood was shed, symbolized by the cup.
And that table tells you, sinner, that if you come to Christ, you'll be saved. The work is done. The work is done. Repent, believe the gospel. Turn from your sin. And God will save you now. And you can leave this meeting, going home to wherever you have come from tonight, knowing that the words of Jesus Christ are for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Every time a dear believer dies, every time a saint of God passes away, it's the fulfilling of that promise. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. And while every head is bowed and all the Lord's people are praying, thank God for those in the meeting tonight that haven't Christ. We're so glad to see you here. Maybe your soul is troubled. And dear sinner friend, listen. We know where you are. We have been there. We know what trouble was like in the soul. But we know what it is also to come to Christ and lose that trouble and find peace through this precious blood of Christ. Lift your heart heavenward just where you sit in that seat. Ask the Lord to save you. He has promised, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'd like to speak with me, wait behind. I know we have the Lord's table. You can go and wait in the minister's room. Or you can sit in the church here and just wait till we finish around the table of the Lord. It'd be my joy to sit down with you. Or I'll come and see you. Whatever way we can help, be our joy to do it. We're your servants for Christ's sake. Come to Christ tonight. Be saved tonight, may God write his word in every heart. Father, take thy word. Take all that's been of thee. Bless it to every heart. Glorify your Son in the conversion of the lost. Grant deciding grace, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.